To see you in the Lord's house tonight. Enjoyed the preliminary revival service this morning.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That note burning was special. Really was. But I'm looking forward to the invitation tonight and every night. I want us to receive some things from God this week. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
We want to receive some things for us. Now, the Scripture says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, but it did not say that receiving was no blessing. Amen? Anybody ever give you anything? Say amen. Yeah, it's a blessing to receive, isn't it? It's more blessed to give, but I want us to receive some things this week. Brother BJ a while ago walked up to me, and I thought, not my heart, flew over sideways. I thought, he's giving this to me. And then he said, man, one of my church members gave this to me the other day. I thought, my heart just dropped, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, it's good to receive some things. It's good to receive some things. The last time I was here, prior to COVID, Brother Jerry, how many of you knew him? Blind man. Most of the congregation, I believe, Jerry Norris. I've never been around. I understand that's your husband. I've never been around. I've got a deaf cousin that can't hear, can't speak. He and I were raised together, and I guess that's why my hands kind of go crazy whenever I talk. But I talked to him all the time while we were growing up. And I didn't know sign language, but he and I, if he needed to tell his parents anything, a lot of times he'd tell me, and I'd tell the adults. We were the same age. We stayed together for about 8 years, but Jerry really touched my heart. I've never been around anybody that couldn't see, but he was very interested in everybody that came through the church doors. I've never had anybody that couldn't see that was interested in me like he was. Never felt like it, that. I've been around a couple of blind people before, but they didn't really care who I was. But whenever I met Jerry,
yes.
I felt like, although he couldn't see, I felt like that he could see. Can I get an amen right there? Although he wasn't able to see with these eyes, I believe that he saw things that people that could see couldn't see. Y'all following me?
Yes.
I may talk in little circles, all right, but you stay with me a little bit and we'll come back around. He could perceive things that other people that could see could not perceive. And therefore, he was able to receive and to believe maybe beyond what people that could see could perceive or believe. And I know that's all. To be able to perceive doesn't mean that you can actually see it, but it means that you know it. Amen? I've never seen Jesus before, but I perceive, amen, some things about my Lord. I do, and therefore I believe some things about Jesus Christ. The Lord's laid faith in my heart because of some preaching that I heard and some perception that came my way. Therefore, I began to be able to receive some things from God. But you got to be able to perceive some things before you can ever believe some things or receive some things. I want us to be able to receive some things this week. Amen. But before we can, we're going to have to be able to believe some things this week. And in order to believe it, you're going to have to be able to perceive it. So I hope that I do like my grandma used to do me. I'd walk into her house, Grandma Helen, and whenever I'd walk in, she'd get that old brown cookie jar, had that white, that mingled color rim on it, ceramic jar. Any of y'all's grandmas have one of them? She'd get that ceramic cookie jar off of the refrigerator and set it down on the table, and I'd crawl up in the chair, buddy, and I could get to it right there. Amen. I want you to be able to get to it this week. And if you can perceive it and believe it, then God can open up a brand new world for you to receive some things. I know a lot of people don't believe that receiving comes in that fashion. but in spiritual ramifications. The best prayers don't start in the altar. God prayers start in heaven. God lays a prayer in your heart, but it'll be a time of worship. It won't be a time of begging. It'll be a done deal whenever you get up from that prayer time. You'll think, I ain't got to pray about that no more. God done settled that thing.
Yes, sir.
Help me with this part. Our Father which art in heaven, help me. That would be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Right here. That's good enough. Let's try it one more time. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Here, right here. See, what happens on earth didn't start on earth. What from God happens here actually started up there. So the best prayer that you'll ever pray in the altar won't be one that you drug up here yourself, but it'll be one God put in your heart and you had to bring it up here and lay it down. Amen? I want us to receive some things from God this week and therefore be able to worship Him in a mighty way. Y'all stand with me tonight. I've got a little few stories that we're going to go through this week. I'm going to try not to be long in preaching. I know I've been long-winded before. I'm going to do my best not to be. I'm not promising you anything, all right? But the faster y'all listen, the dunner we'll get with it, all right? The quicker we'll get done with it, something like that anyway. Anybody ever heard about two blind men Jesus healed at one time? One guy. I was the same way. I've been studying through the miracles of Jesus in the New Testament in order, and I was following another guy's order list, and I got down to this miracle, and I thought, I've never read that before in my life. Watch what the Scripture says. Matthew chapter number 9, beginning in verse number 27, the Bible says, I love to hear the pages turn. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed Him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when He was come into the house, the blind men came to Him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto Him, say it with me, Yea, Lord. Then touched He their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. Their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad His fame in all that country. They went out, and behold, they brought to Him a dumb man possessed with the devil. Lord, we pray that You'd give us tonight what we need from Your Word. Lord, we pray that You'd give us a great invitation tonight. Lord, I pray that You'd let those that can't see tonight be able to perceive some things out of this. And Lord, I pray that You would advance us in our Christian lives in order that we might be able to follow You more closely. God, we pray that we'd be able to witness greater. Lord, I pray that we'd be able to share Your Word in a mightier way. God, I pray that we might be able to hold somebody's hand in the community and pray a prayer that came from heaven. God, we pray that You'd move tonight and touch this great church. Thank You, Lord, for the miracle of paying off this building in such a short amount of time. God, we pray that You'd use it now. Fill it up with saved people. Fill it up with lost people. God, we pray that Your miracles would come down. Let us receive some things from You this week. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. By His precious blood we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen and amen. You may be seated. As I began to look at this scripture, and I thought about how that they had perceived some things. I looked at their blindness there in verse number 27. When Jesus was departed thence, two blind men followed Him. I found that to be the first strange thing that I saw whenever I was studying the scripture, how that two blind men can follow anybody. But I'm going to tell you, they can perceive things that other people cannot perceive. And they knew that this man Jesus had been healing people, that he had been touching people, and that he had been moving, and that the waters had laid down on the Sea of Galilee, that a little girl that had been dead had been raised again, that a young man that had been laid out dead had risen up and began to speak, that all different manner of things a demon possessed, a man had been healed. And over there, across the water of the Sea of Galilee, not very far, only about 8 miles across it anyway, they had gotten word that a herd of swine had run off down a hill and drowned themselves because of the demons that had entered in to those swine's body. They'd heard about these things, and then they heard the crowd that was following Jesus. There was a press that was following him, and they began to follow them. There was somebody other than them that was desiring Christ to do a work in their life. Don't think that you're the only one tonight. Okay? Don't think that you're the only one here that needs God to do a work in your life. For God is ready to do a work in each one of our hearts tonight. We see that they were blind while they were living their life here on earth. But maybe they could see or perceive more than other people had. For in verse number 27, we find this. As also, not only do we find their blindness, but we find their belief. It said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." When I begin to look at that, I thought, my goodness, these are the first people that ever said to Jesus that you're the Son of David. Whenever they said, "Son of David," the crowd turned around and looked at him. What do you mean, Son of David? This man is a prophet, surely. This man has the ability to preach the house down. He stands whenever he preaches, and whenever he teaches God's word, he pulls so much from out of the Bible. Now, what they had was the Old Testament, but he was going into the minor prophets, and he was going into the Proverbs, and he was going into the Psalms. He was going into Samuel, and he was talking about David, and he was sharing things. He was a great preacher, and he was a prophet, no doubt. He had this ability to heal people, and everybody knew that, and they were following him around. But all of a sudden, and the disciples had already had him on the boat. And boy, whenever I looked at that miracle, and they said, "What manner of man is this?" They really didn't understand who he was at that point in time either. They thought he was a good preacher. They thought he had this miracle touch from God, the ability to heal somebody, but they had no idea what kind of man it was that could speak to a storm and get it to stop. What kind of man was this that could tell the Sea of Galilee, "Lay down"? And in a moment's notice, it went from a tumultuous uproar to all of a sudden a calmness that was indescribable. Boy, I'm glad I like it whenever he does that, though. Amen. What kind of man is this? And all of a sudden, two blind men from the back of the crowd are tapping along. They're crying, "Son of Jesus, Son of David. Son of David." And whenever they heard that "Son of David," they remembered in the synagogue when the old preacher was preaching to them and he was telling them that there would be one coming. It was in 2 Samuel chapter number 7 where it was predicted that it would be a son of David that would come. Let's read that scripture. It says in 2 Samuel chapter number 7, verse number 12, "And when thy days be fulfilled and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers," talking to David, "I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels. I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build an house for my name. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Those old preachers had preached in that synagogue. They had talked about a Savior that would come to Israel. They had talked about one that would come from the throne of David. And they had looked for him to come out of surely some of their lineage. Had looked for him to come wearing purple. They had thought, surely this Jesus or this Savior, this Son of David will come, and he'll come in royalty. He'll come in splendor. And whenever he comes, he'll probably be one of the Pharisees' children. Oh yeah, they look for Nicodemus or somebody like that to have a son or a grandson that would rise up, and surely he would be the son of David, one of those that would be in that line, that would be well noted, but not a peasant boy, not a carpenter boy from over at Nazareth, not over there in town where did nobody look for a Savior to come from, but all of a sudden two blind men that never had seen anything before in their life, all of a sudden they're perceiving something that nobody else has known. Son of David, Messiah, sent from God, the one that will save, redeem Israel, the one that has been coming from God that we've heard about, the one that all the prophets have told about, the one that now is on the scene, Son of David. You know, I don't even read in there where they said, will you cause us to be able to see? Read that thing one more time. Just look, it's just three or four little verses of Scripture. Watch what it says. Thou son of David, verse 27, have mercy on us. When he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him. Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I'm able to do this? They said to him, yea, Lord. They didn't say, would you please let us see the sunrise in the morning?
Nope.
That's not what they said. They said, we believe that you are the Messiah. Jesus said, do you believe that I can do this? And they said, yea, Lord. Wow! That's what Jesus is looking for. He's looking for somebody that's been in the Word enough that they are perceiving things that other people have. You want to receive something from God? Say amen. Amen. You want God to give you something this week? Say amen. Amen, we do. We won't. We came tonight because we want God. Now I don't want to hear a redneck preacher preach. I want God to do something in my heart. I want revival. I want on fire. I want not to be able to be shut up this week about what Jesus is doing in my heart and in my life. I want God to do something. We need to be able to perceive. We'll never be able to believe any more than we have perceived from the Word of God. You want to be a mighty Christian? You're going to have to extend your perceiving a little bit. You're going to have to open up the Word of God and memorize a verse of Scripture. You say, Brother Andy, how deep am I going to have to go? Just take it one day at a time, okay? Just take it one verse at a time. Don't try to gorge yourself on 2 Samuel the first time you open it up, all right? Just get you one verse out of Proverbs and memorize it. Amen. On in his heart while he was out there singing to them sheep. Just go over in the New Testament and get you one little old parable that Jesus might have said. Try not to receive, but just make sure you're trying to memorize one little verse at a time. Whenever we begin to perceive more of the Word of God, he's more apt to give you more than you bargained for. Amen. More than you ever thought that you would have got. I guarantee you, Brother B.J. had no idea somebody was going to walk up to him and give him a bone handle, yellow case, pocket knife. Amen. He said, well, look at him, what I got. I mean, that makes him redneck's day right there. Amen. That'd make a redneck day right there. You hand him one that got double X wrote on it and he'll shout a little bit. I wish I'd have brought. I got a pout. I ain't getting that number. I'm working on it. He's thinking about it. At least he got it in his mind. He got a pretty good heart. If he's thinking about that, I might need that pocket knife. I'm gonna give him credit. All right. I'm gonna give him a check mark on love right there. I'm gonna give him a little check mark. We must be able to perceive the Word of God. You know what? God wants you to be able to believe. And I'm glad today I came down, I got Jesus in my heart, and I said, Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I'm going to tell you what, he filled me up, but I want you to know that wasn't the last time he done it. Amen. Woo! That wasn't the last time that he touched me whenever I bowed down that first time and asked him to forgive me. It's been a trail of times where the Lord has just reached down time after time, goodness after goodness, and grace after grace, and glory after glory after glory after glory, and God touching my heart. And y'all was singing that song a while ago, and man, my eyes began to weep and I began to cry, and worship took place in my heart because because I knew what we were singing. We get to singing about him coming up out of that grave. Boy, I tell you what, I get excited about it, amen. I know that the Lord died. I know that his blood covered my sin, but I'm going to tell you, he's coming back, amen. He rose up out of the grave, and he's not gone forever. He's coming again. I looked at how they were blind, and I looked at how they believed, and I looked here in this scripture also at how they were blessed. They were blessed with a test. You ain't looking at one that likes tests. I'd have got out of school quicker than 12 years if I could have, amen. I don't like tests. I wish the teacher would tell everything's going to be on them so I'd know a little bit, amen. Woo! I don't like tests. But tests are there. And they are there to find out how much you perceived from what you've been taught. They're not there to destroy you. Tests don't come into your life to figure out whether or not you can stand or fall. Tests come to see what kind of grades you're going to make. I mean, that's what I always got them for when I was in school. They do that same thing over here in Beavertown. Y'all like the way I say it, don't you? That's what they're there for. Watch what the test was. It says, their eyes were opened. Jesus straightly charged them, saying, and I love the way he put it, see? That's the first word he said to them, see? See? See that no man know it. What's up with that? Amen? Man, we get somebody healed up here tonight, we're going to tell everybody. Amen? Somebody walk up here and God touch their heart and heal their soul or leg or arm. I asked him to heal my arm this week. I've had surgery on that thing back in January, and that's about, I've about been depressed over it a few times. I'm just going to tell you, I ain't about been, I have been. So I'm afraid I ain't going to be able to praise God like I used to. Tears me up a little bit. Just a test, I suppose. See what I'm going to do with it. He looked at these two guys that never had seen anything, touched them, they get their sight. And he says, see that no man know it. Why? I'm studying this thing and I'm telling you it went over my head just like it just went over yours. Why would Jesus say that? But then I got to thinking, he wasn't just God. He was also a man. We forget that part about him until we read in the Garden of Gethsemane where he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. The man didn't want to do it. I'll read you what they said in 2 Samuel. You're not going to believe this prophecy about the one that would come. He shall build an house, verse 13, 2 Samuel chapter number 7. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Verse 14, 2 Samuel chapter 7. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he committeth iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of children of men. This was written about Jesus Christ because he was going to be tempted just like us. He was going to have flesh just like us. He was going to have a soul, a body, a mind, a spirit, desires, needs, wants. just like us. But yet we know that he passed the test. Oh! Woo! He didn't make a 99 plus. He made 100, amen. He made 100. The test that we see there. I remember whenever I was a boy growing up, my daddy would tell me to mow the yard, and he'd give me a certain time that it had to be done by. Anybody else? You have it done by the time I get home this evening. And it better be done. And right there about 30 minutes before he get home, son, I'd crank that lawnmower up, and I'm telling you, I'd have that thing buzzing, boy. Wow, I'd done fished every hole in the community. I'd done run every dog. I'd done everything I could do. And son, I told them boys, I got to get to the house. My daddy gonna tear my gin house up when he gets home tonight. Man, he wear me. I remember one night, my daddy was a preacher, see. He went to pastor his first church, and I'll never forget that night. Mama said, don't you boys be fighting out there behind the church. Mama, you... And then daddy got in it. You heard what she said, boy. And that night, I'm telling you, Wendy Bagwell said, if I'm lying, I'm dying. Timmy Dillard drawed a line on the ground right behind the Sunday school rooms on the back side of the church house that very evening. Told me not to cross it. You know what happened? He was a little bit bigger than me, but I was always pretty stout, and I figured I could handle him anyway. He whooped a dog out of me out there behind the Sunday school room that night. That boy's strong, son. I believe he had 2x4s on both sides of the backbone. Good grief, I couldn't break him. I couldn't bend him. I couldn't knock him down. He was wearing me out. And son, when I got home, I had failed the test, Jack. When my daddy got through with me, I went to my mama and said, my bottom lip was bumping in and out, you know, blowing them snot bubbles. I looked around at the back side of my leg, son, it had red whelps come across it. Y'all still do that over here in Alabama? Yeah. Amen. That's a way to train them up. But I had been given a test, and I had failed the test, but I love it when God's people pass the test, amen, and the teacher is pleased with the grade, and all of a sudden you begin to receive some things you never knew that you was going to receive. She'll just bring in a cup full of goodies and something, or all of a sudden you'll get a little bit of something extra, a star up there on the board or something beside your name. B.J. Mills with a big old green star out there beside it. You be cheesing like everything whenever it's over with. The Lord has the ability to lay a case pocket knife in your hand, amen. The Lord has the ability to give you things. You can receive things this week. Not only did they have a test or a trial, but I will close tonight with this idea: they had a testimony. That girl stood up there this morning and said she never had to give her testimony but about 2 or 3 times. I was glorying in the fact she had one. Amen. Everybody ain't got a testimony. Everybody ain't got a testimony. I'm glad I got a testimony. How? I am glad that I know what them two old boys had a testimony. They had been walking around and they'd been tapping around all their lives, and they'd been asking folks to help them and asking people to give to them. But after that night, they were able to throw their canes to the side and walk around and say, Jesus said, see that you tell no man. Jesus, the man, I believe here, the God-man, said, tell no man. Number one, because of the way the crowds had been doing him. They'd already been oppressed, and a woman came behind him with an issue of blood, and they barely could get through town. They were such a mob that would follow him out by the Sea of Galilee that he'd get on a ship and go to the other side just to try to get away from them from time to time. So the man, Jesus, desired a little rest. He'd leave and go up into a mountain to pray to get away from the multitude because people were coming from everywhere. The word had gotten out about all these miracles, and they were coming from over toward China, and they were coming down from Turkey, and they were coming over from across Jordan, and they were coming from off the edge of the Mediterranean, and people from out of Asia were coming because they'd been hearing that this healer was in town, and miracles were going on. They were bringing other people. Man, people were packing up down in Egypt, and they wasn't planning on just a one-day trip. They was loading them double hump camels, amen, and bringing everything that they need. If it took 2 or 3 months, they were going to find this man Jesus. Jesus said, "The man, see that you tell no one. I'd like to have a little privacy every now and then. I'd like to be able to get away by myself sometime." We know how that is. But secondly, I thought, see that you tell no man. In that day, persecution on believers was really fixing to get irate. And Jesus had a heart for these two old blind boys. And he thought, Jesus the man, if you'll keep it down a little bit, maybe they won't stripe you like they're going to stripe me. He loved this man. Over in verse 34 and 35, you'll find that in that same chapter where he had compassion. He looked on those people with compassion. He preached to them the gospel of the kingdom. He saw them as a sheep without a shepherd, wandering. But I think the real reason that Jesus said, see that you tell no man, because he knew them, but they didn't know him. He knew them. He knew their hearts, but they didn't understand his. They didn't know the real reason he'd come. Because he didn't come so two blind guys could see the sunrise in the morning. Come on. He didn't come so that a nobleman's daughter might rise up off of a bed and be able to be fed again. That is not why he come. He didn't come that maybe my arm might be able to be healed one day. He came so my soul could be forgiven and go to heaven, amen. That's why God sent His only begotten Son. That's why Jesus was the only one in heaven. That's why He went all the way to Calvary. He was looking at those people and He knew them. He knew that they'd ball up and come from all parts of the world in order that their foot might be healed or that their lame hand might be touched again. He knew that they'd come for the wrong reasons. But my friend, He knew the real reason was so that He could save their souls. See that you tell no man about me causing you to be able to see. I want you to receive some things this week from God. To be able to receive, you must be able to believe. And in order to believe, you've got to first perceive the things that God has for you. So, if you come this week and you never had heard anybody preach on two blind men, but all of a sudden you begin to see, God might be fixing to do something in your heart that you never did expect. You might wind up telling 10 people tomorrow and getting 7 or 8 of them to come with you tomorrow night. You might get so excited by the time you get home tonight that you just lay in the bed, patting the bed and thinking about what God's going to do next. What is it? What is it that God wants with me? What is He going to do with me? This, our musicians began to come, if you would stand with me. I didn't come for you to hear me preach this week. I came to share with you a little in God's Word so that you could come to Jesus and receive. I came so you could perceive some things and then your belief might grow because of what you now know. And then God will begin to give and you begin to receive. I love giving. I do. My wife and I have, my daddy trained me, taught me as a boy to give. I was taught a tithe. And we, I guess the first 2 years we didn't go to church like we should have. But since then, even before I got saved, as far as my knowledge, a tithe has been the minimum off of the, not the net, but the gross. And then in the last several years, we started giving. I thought I was giving before whenever I was tithing. I didn't have no idea what I was doing. Preachers learn as they go along too.
Yes, sir.
I thought because I was tithing, I was giving. The tithe's already his.
Yes, sir.
When I got up above 10%, it's like the windows of heaven opened up. And I don't have to give anymore. I get to give. And God gives more, and I get it, and I get it to give. We get to give. But I'm not against receiving, because everything that I receive, I know I'm going to get to give. I hope that whatever God gives you this week, you don't try to do it like a catfish pond. I was going to say a watershed project, but I know where I'm at. I hope you don't do it like a catfish pond. Spend a lot of money on the dam, go buy the fish, put them in there, and then put postage signs up all around. Y'all with me? I hope whatever God gives to you, you don't spend a lot of money on the dam, buy a bunch of them, put them in there, and then put postage signs up. But whatever God gives to you, you get it to give. So whatever the Lord give you tonight as they begin to play, sing, the altar will be open for a little bit. I thought about them two blind men. Can you imagine somebody coming up to them, tap them on the shoulder, said, "Ain't y'all them two blind men?" And one of them looked at the other one and said, "It ain't us. We see good." Well, I meant the two that were, used to be. Oh, yeah, yeah, we used to be. But let me tell you what happened. We heard about the Son of David that would come. Then we went to him, and then we received from him. So if you would desire something from him, all you've got to do is go to it. And that's what we want to do this week. We won't come to it. While they begin to sing, the altar be open.